It's All Things Considered on 91.9 FM WUOT. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. On April 9, 1865, the surrender at Appomattox ended the Civil War. On April 10, Passover began. The annual Jewish observance of freedom from slavery served as a remarkable parallel in that spring of 1865, because here in the South, another freedom from slavery was forging a new social order in the embers of the old one. That's the setting of Matthew Lopez's The Whipping Man, a play currently in production at the Clarence Brown Theater in Knoxville. Passover 1865 is the time. A war-ravaged mansion in Virginia is the place. Caleb DeLeon, a Jewish man who fought for the Confederacy, returns to his wrecked home to find two of his former slaves. The three of them begin to grapple with the realities of their new lives, unable to completely shake the thoughts and prejudices of the old ones. Steve Sherman plays Caleb DeLeon, and Tramell Tillman plays John, one of the two slaves in the play.
Thanks for having us.
That was a beautiful, amazing stereo unison there. A play or any artistic work that tries to explain the intricacies of race relations or of religion, both of these subjects are touched upon in the play, very tangled webs that permeate all of our history, runs the risk of being preachy, runs the risk of falling into cliches, of turning characters into caricatures. So how does The Whipping Man avoid those issues and try to tell its story? Tramell, we'll start with you.
Well, I think what Matthew Lopez does is create an atmosphere where the human condition can really come in. And it's less about the preachiness of the subject, but more about the heart and what it what really means to live and be free and to be considered as equal. And I think when you take out all of the political aspects of race, or the political aspects, or the economic aspects of slavery, and what the Civil War was about, and you get down to the human point of it all, you know, to be able to live free and to be able to walk this earth as a man, equal to anybody else, regardless of where they stand or the color of their skin. I think that's something that we all strive to and look towards and we can relate to. And these characters are really relatable. So I feel that because they're relatable and because Matthew has written them so beautifully, audiences are able to connect with them and root for them and understand their condition just a little bit more than we would ordinarily see.
Mm. Steve, how do you look at it?
It's not your typical Civil War play or movie, and Matthew Lopez wrote the play he wanted to write, which was taking three very different characters, still relatable, and then he happened to put them at this incredible setting, which parallels the freeing of slaves and the freeing of the slaves from Egypt. And I'm trying to put into words what I want to say. I just think, like, Tramell was really spot on when he said, like, it brings out the real humanity and the relatability of the characters. My character came from a time where what he was fighting for, you know, he really believed in and, you know, did not think necessarily what he was doing was wrong. He says, I fought to defend my home. And I think that pride and that fight for what we believe in is extraordinarily relatable.
The twist in this tale, which we've already alluded to, is that Caleb, the returning soldier, and both of his slaves, John and Simon, are all Jewish. And for all their differences, there is that one uniting factor. So, Steve, how does that change the dynamic among those three men?
Most slaves were probably not practicing the same religion as their owners. And especially, I would think, in a Jewish household, that it was very rare. So for Caleb, he's at a very different time because he just spent 4 years in the Civil War. So he is really at a battle with his faith. He basically says, I stopped praying, I stopped believing. And I personally think he still believes that he's just pretty much fed up with God. And then in the last scene, we celebrate a Seder together, and that connection really strikes a chord deep within him, and he celebrates it with them. That interconnection of faith that they have with their slaves is probably the strongest part of their relationship that he has with with John and with Simon.
Right. And Tramiel, again, I would ask you to sort of weigh in on that from your character's perspective as one of the slaves.
I think one of the most important things that I can imagine living in that time period, because, of course, I didn't live in that time period, but one of the most important things would be to have something to believe in, to have some kind of faith, to believe that this situation, the slavery, the war that's going on, the destruction, the inhumanity that's going around right in front of our very eyes, that there has to be something that's better than this. There's got to be something that's bigger than all of us that we can look to give us strength and to keep us going forward. And I think having that faith in the midst of these trying times is what keeps Simon going forward and what keeps John going forward and even what keeps the De Leon household moving to a certain beat. Because, you know, you have all these questions. It's, you know, why am I not free? Or, you know, why is it that I have to be whipped and, you know, others aren't? Or, you know, you're looking for answers. You're looking for answers, and it's our faith and our belief in a system that's bigger than us, a power that's stronger than us, that's all-knowing and all-powerful, that gives us some kind of safety and the belief that we will one day be free too. And I think that's why the celebration of this Passover and this Seder is so monumental at this particular time when we're being freed, that yes, just like our ancestors, the Israelites, were freed, we too are free, and we're gonna have this celebration as well.
Caleb's faith, as we've been talking about, was deeply affected by the war, deeply shaken down to its core. Steve, how did you prepare to play a man that's going through that kind of crisis of faith?
Well, I mean, I'm a faithful person myself, so I think that really helped me connect to Caleb. And I mean, we've talked about the relatability of these characters in this situation, even though it's 150 years ago. And, you know, we all, as Simon says, we wrestle with God. We ask him questions. And that's something that's still relatable today. We all, you know, as faithful people, we whenever things aren't going well, you know, you kind of ask God, what's going on? What's your plan for me? What, you know? And I think Caleb's going through a lot of that. For 4 years, he saw some horrific things, and it really made him question his faith. And, you know, he asked for 4 years, you know, for God to take him out of this situation and make things right, make things better, and they weren't happening. So I think it's relatable completely. I there wasn't too much research I could do when it comes to a character's faith, but it's just more of a personal experience of the times that we all kind of question and we all get frustrated with the world around us, and you know, there's probably more things today than 150 years ago where we kind of question God, why is this happening, you know, in our world? How can this happen when there's a God who loves us? And I think that's exactly what Caleb was asking 150 years ago, and why he says, you know, I stopped praying, I stopped believing, because what's the point if this horrific war is going on? What's the point in asking if nothing's going to get better?
John is the younger of the two slaves, and he definitely has some interesting ideas about what freedom means. And so I wanted, Tramiel, what is his concept of his newfound freedom? How is he envisioning what this new path forward looks like?
I think it is to enjoy every liberty that he has, to take advantage of everything that he sees. As a slave, John didn't have anything. He didn't have anything of his own. You know, the clothes that he was given, you know, they weren't his. They were given to somebody else. You know, the shoes that he were given to somebody else, or hand-me-downs. So it's like, you know, now that I'm free, I am going, if I see that chair and I want that chair, I'm going to take that chair because I'm free. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no one can stop me, because that's what a free man does. He acquires, he consumes, he takes. And I think when John watched, you know, other free men, you know, maybe Mr. De Leon or other slave owners. He watched them, and they took things from other people. They took things from slaves. You know, they took families away from people. They took women away. They took children away. They took these inanimate objects at the time. And so now that, you know, I'm just as free as Mr. De Leon, well, I'm going to take things too. You know, and this is my place as a free man, and I'm going to enjoy it, and I'm going to relish in it. And this is not only my payback, but this is my liberation, you know, to acquire and consume.
There is, as we've been talking about, a lot to digest in this play: threads of race relations, the era of Reconstruction, the ravages of war, questioning faith, questioning freedom and what that means. All three of these characters are flawed. There's no clear-cut good guy and bad guy. It's not black and white. Mm-hmm. Pardon the expression. There are secrets, there are lies, there's theft going on. What do you hope the audience takes away from this experience?
I think one of the lines in the Haggadah that Simon talks about, he asks about the Haroset and, you know, why do we take part in it? And I think it's, you know, to remind us that sweetness can come from bitterness. And I think in the midst of all the turmoil and the pain and the anger and the frustration, there is a silver lining. There is hope at the end of the tunnel. And it may not necessarily come in the way that we think it might. You know, it may not end in roses and butterflies and rainbows, but there's a freedom, and there's a responsibility that we all have in that freedom, whether it is to take part in it, to ruin it, or to spread that freedom around. And I think what this play does, it doesn't answer every single question that we have, but it leaves us with questions of what we can do now in this period where we are to set ourselves free, or to set other people free, or help them find their way, you know, to find that in the midst of our own struggles, there is a little bit of sweetness, and it'll get better, and we will find, you know, our way through.
I think you make an interesting point that freedom doesn't necessarily mean freedom from responsibility or from social contracts and things, and that's what your character is sort of grappling with. He's never had the freedom, and so he's trying to figure out what it means.
Now, what to do with it? What do you do with this freedom? It's, you know, he asks the question, it's like, so what am I supposed to do? You're free now. I'm free now. What am I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that we strive for. I mean, this big hope, this big dream to be free, to be let go, to be liberated, you know. But once we get it, what do you do? It's like this thing that I prayed for, that I searched for answers for, this thing that I wanted so bad, I finally got it. But what am I supposed to do with it? You know, and we'll end up getting caught up in the moment, and we'll end up ruining it, or we'll end up squandering it, or we don't really know what to do with it. But it's still our responsibility to find out and to search it out and to not to ruin it. And I think in so many different ways, there is a freedom for all the characters, you know, in their own way.
So, Steve, then what does Caleb's freedom mean?
Now, our characters are extraordinarily different, and they have very different goals, and they've had very different ways of life. And by the end, you realize these two guys need each other. For Caleb, he's completely lost the way of life he's had before this play started. And I think he's owned, as egregious as it was, he owned slaves. Even as a child, he had ownership over them. And by the end of the play, I don't want to ruin anything, but you realize how much he needs and cherishes this relationship, and how much he relies on John. So I hope people walk away kind of with an understanding of cherishing the people in their lives and the families and everything, because they need each other and they're there for each other.
Steve Sherman plays Caleb De Leon. Tramell Tillman plays John. Two of the characters in the three-person play The Whipping Man by Matthew Lopez, currently in production at the Clarence Brown Theater in Knoxville. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us today on All Things Considered.
Thank you.
Thank you.